on. I want to talk to us about seeking his presence today. And if you have your Bibles, you can open your Bibles to Psalm 107 and verse number 8. I want to talk to us about the need that we have to have spiritual encounters with God. Divine encounters with God. God wants a church filled with people who are hungry for his presence. Years ago, 12 years ago, when we began to plant Destiny Church and we were talking about moving from Ohio and traveling here to Southwest Florida to start a church, we began to look at what did God want to do here? Like, what's the vision for the church and what's our purpose and how do we articulate all that in words? And God gave me this vision of creating value. And my mission has been really just creating value and letting everybody know how special they are. Creating value and building relationships. And I'm not the best at it, but I'm working at it. I'm trying to build relationships and help you to know that this isn't a Sunday morning church. Come on, this isn't a Sunday, let's go to church place. This is like we want to build relationships and build unity and camaraderie and build friends. Naples is such a transient place, man. You come in here, everybody's friendly, but it's hard to build relationships because people come and go. They move here, and then they find out it's real expensive to live here, and then they're gone. I have people tell me all of a sudden, people been at the church for years, and all of a sudden you don't see them for 4 or 5 weeks, and I call them, Skip. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? I ain't seen you for 4 or 5 weeks. Oh, yeah, well, we moved. I mean, you moved. Where'd you move to? Oh, well, we moved back up north. We couldn't handle it, you know, we couldn't keep up with the bills, whatever, and they just moved. Like, I'm like, I got to break that spirit of, we got to build unity, we got to build family, we got to build community. Amen? And so the Lord said, build relationships, and I've been working at that. And then the third thing the Lord said was release the power of the Holy Spirit. That we need to be a church that embraces the movement of the Holy Spirit. That we teach people how to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. This isn't just go to church on Sunday and hear all kinds of rules and regulations and then go home and try to keep all the rules. Man, what is that? That's not the church I want to be a part of. I want to be a church that hosts his presence, that are hungry to host his presence, that it's not just for a church experience for an hour and a half or some ours is like 2 hours sometimes, but like an hour and a half or 2 hours a week, and that's it. And then you go home and then come back and try to get in here and get refreshed again. That's garbage. That doesn't work. That'll keep you living in the natural. It'll keep you living in this world. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You are a supernatural person. You've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so my whole message today is just talking about how God wants a church that's hungry for his presence. We exist to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is alive in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. When you receive salvation, you get a revelation of Jesus. That he died for you, that he forgave you of your sins, and that he's come to give you a life in heaven. And you receive salvation. But if you want to understand the depth of his love, if you want to understand the power of his resurrection, you will only know that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll send you another comforter. He'll not only be with you as I was with you, but he'll be in you. And through the Holy Spirit, through hosting his presence, it causes everything in your life to change. You will not operate in the same level that you have operated in. You won't keep living life the same way when you encounter the Holy Spirit. Listen, Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord God for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Go with me to Exodus 33 and verses 11 through 19. Because I looked at that word goodness and I'm like, man, I want the goodness of God to be revealed in my life daily. I want to wake up every morning empowered with his goodness. Exodus 33, 11 through 19. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. It was an encounter with God. It wasn't just head knowledge about God. It wasn't just what he knew. He met with God face to face. as a man would meet with his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his son Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you've not let me know, whom will you send with me? Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace. You found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you." God speaking to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then he said to him, Moses speaking back to God, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Moses crying out to God, "Show me your glory." And he said, "I will make my goodness pass before you. I'll make my goodness pass before you. I will reveal my glory to you, Moses. I will let you experience my goodness." I want everybody in the room to know God wants to reveal his goodness to you. He wants to expose you to his glory. He wants to transform you into a new person where you're not living in the same manner that you've always lived. You're not operating at the same level. You've come into a place where the glory of God is with you and for you, and there is a release of the glory to the nations of the earth. "I'll be gracious to you whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on him who I have compassion." Most people today are satisfied with knowledge of God. Most people are satisfied just with knowledge of God. If I can come to church on a Sunday and I could get a little more knowledge about God, that satisfies me. But they've never encountered him. They've never had an experience with him. Or if they did, it was a long time ago when they were children. So many Christians are trying to experience Christianity without ever encountering the living God. When you have a supernatural encounter with God, it changes the way that you do life. You can't operate your business at the same level when you encounter the living God. You can't be a husband the way you've always been when you encounter the living God. You'll never be the wife you are today when you encounter the living God, because he transforms your thinking. He transforms your way of living. It's a divine encounter. Many of you are going through hard times, like trying times in your life. You're struggling just to exist. You've had trial after trial, and some of you are just really at your rope's end, and you're saying, "God, I just need something more. I need you to encourage me." And God says, "Hey, I will show you my goodness. If you'll take the time to sit at my feet, if you'll open up your heart and invite me in, I will fill your life with goodness." For some of you, these are the toughest days of your life. You're fighting for your very life. I felt it in the first service as I was preaching, Pastor. I was preaching, and the Holy Spirit told me that there were people in the room that were fighting for their very lives. That this week, on Thanksgiving, something shifted in an atmosphere, and a heaviness came over their life. And I could see people fighting for their existence. And I released that into the atmosphere and said, if you're fighting for your life right now and you feel like there's a spirit that came upon you that doesn't belong in your life, come forward. And many came forward and received deliverance today. I'm telling you, there is an atmosphere in God where God can set you free from anything that you're struggling with. It's his goodness. I want you to know that the thing that will keep you alive and keep you fighting for your family, there's many people in this room fighting for their family. They're fighting for their families. They're fighting for lost loved ones. They're fighting for sons and daughters. I've got a sister that I'm fighting for, that she would have a divine encounter with God. We grew up in the same household, had the same Holy Ghost-filled father, had the same praying mom, but she's chosen a path and I've chosen a path, and I'm calling her to the path of God. And some of you got children, you've got loved ones that you're fighting for. Does that relate to anybody in the room that you're fighting for your family? We're fighting for your brother's life, Amanda. We're standing in the gap for David, and we're calling him in to the kingdom of God, because he's never going to get free until he gets free in Jesus. And there's many of us in this room. We're fighting for loved ones. We're fighting for parents. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to keep you fighting is a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit. A divine encounter with the Holy Spirit that will point you to Jesus, who is the answer for everything in life. If the question is loneliness, the answer is Jesus. Come on, if the question is addiction, the answer is Jesus. If the question is brokenness and how do I fix my broken life, the answer is Jesus, and it will be revealed to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I go to my Father, and he's at the right hand of God, but the Holy Spirit is on the earth right now, revealing Jesus to the sons and daughters. Until you practice and obey the knowledge that you have, or until you experience him, until you have an encounter with him. See, most religions of the world do not teach an experience with God. They teach knowledge of God. They teach just knowledge about God. Knowledge has become an idol. If I could just learn more about God, if I could learn more, then that's going to sustain me. I'm telling you, it is spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. You can get all the truth in the world, but you got to have the spirit to activate that truth. When God spoke the word and he said, let there be light, it was the spirit of the living God that moved over the water and caused the earth to come forth. The Holy Spirit activates the word of the God in your hearts. Knowledge is good, but without an experience, it's just a theory. And a theory without evidence is not valid. A theory without evidence isn't valid. Theology without an experience is religion. And so many people are trapped in religion. They're trapped in tradition. They're trapped in experiences of just going and being at a church and thinking that's enough. And I'm here to tell you, folks, we're living in the last days. It is not enough to just go to church and get knowledge. You need an experience with the living God. Religion is a system of beliefs based on obligation. It's a system of beliefs based on obligation, and I'm telling you, it's worth nothing. All the heroes of the Bible, every one of them, you begin to read about the heroes of the Bible, every one of them had encounters with God. It came out of encounters. The experience that you had at salvation was amazing. How many remember the day you got saved? Can you remember like it was yesterday, the day that you found Christ, that you really received his love? It was transformative in your life. It changed everything. And you went out and you said, now I'm saved. And those were great experiences. But let me tell you something. That experience will get you to heaven. But you need more. We're on this earth, man, and there's like all kinds of drama right now. There's drama everywhere. Don't even spend a half hour watching the news. You'll leave out so depressed. It's like it's just drama everywhere. But if you get tied into the kingdom of God, if you can get a heaven mindset and start thinking on a heavenly level, you're not operating on an earthly level. You're operating on a heavenly level. You've got a portal to heaven, and in heaven, there's rejoicing. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no crying and no dying. And so you live from that perspective, and you set your mind on things above and not the things of this earth. It changes the way that you live. Divine encounters. Some of you had encounters when you were kids. Even in the first service, Dr. Gabriel and Therese were here, and Therese has often told me about when she was a little girl, and Jesus came to her, and she had this experience with Jesus as a little girl that forever marked her life. I told you guys a few weeks ago about Jordan's experience at just 5 years old in his bedroom when he come knocking on my door. I said, Dad, Mom, come here. He's here. And we run in there. I'm like, who's here? He said, Jesus. He's right there. Reach your hand out. Touch his hand. And I reached my hand out, and he went, oh, he's gone. I'm like, I didn't even get to see him. But he saw him. And now at 29 years old, he sits on the front row of the church going, I've experienced Jesus. Because he had an encounter as a kid. I stayed a few minutes longer in my office before I came in because Pastor's son, Louis, was preaching at his church in Lorain. His little boy who I had in my youth group, that one day I was preaching and the glory of God came on Louis in the back of the church and he starts shaking and convulsing, kind of like Saber did a few months ago where he was just back there just going and I'm trying to preach and he's just going. And I'm like, Louis, stop. He said, I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? He said, he's here. At 15 years old, he had an encounter with Jesus, and I'm in my office crying my eyes out because he's standing behind the podium, and he's preaching, thus saith the word of the Lord, because of an encounter that he had years ago that has produced the hunger in him to have another encounter. Listen to me. Many of you have had encounters in your life, and I'm here to tell you that's amazing, but that's not good enough. You got to have another encounter. You got to come to the table of the Lord. You got to open yourself up and say, God, I want more. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Whew. We need encounters with God. We need to release the fire on the earth. He said, Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to fill you with Holy Ghost and fire. What you got was great, but you need to have hunger for a fresh encounter with Jesus. A fresh encounter. Some of you need a fresh prophetic word. You're still holding on to a prophetic word that you got 20 years ago. There's more. Huh? Line upon line, precept upon precept. There's more. You can't hold on and just say, I'm just waiting on that prophetic word to come manifest. No, get a fresh now word from God. Get a rhema for God now. Don't be satisfied with what you had. Say, there's more. We need another supernatural encounter. Listen, God is a living provider. Huh? You ain't dead. And he's not dead. I see churches all the time trying to fight to keep emotion out of the church. I've heard it said to me so many times, Jim, well, you guys just get too emotional over there. You need to just calm it down. Just water it down a little bit. No, I ain't living that way. God set me on fire. I'm like one of them foxes Samson set on fire, and I'm just running through the town. Like, Jesus is alive, and he's coming back. Amen. Need to get passionate about what we're saying here. This is a real thing, man. Whew. Oh, emotionalism, it just gets too emotional. I want to provoke you to an emotional experience with God. He said, well, I'm just not that way. Yeah, I bet you if I could have been in your living room yesterday watching your favorite football team when they threw an interception and you jumped up screaming and shouting at the TV like the TV has anything to do with it. Huh? Cussing out a referee like they can hear you. That stupid ref, they never call you. Really? And you sit here like a bump on a log at church. You got no expression of joy. You got no rejoicing in your heart. You just sit there bored out of your mind. You watching a football game and they do pass interference and he's going to catch it and they push him out of the way and no flag is thrown. And you throwing everything at the TV like, are you serious? What? Throw the flag! And then come to church and got no life, no joy. Well, I just ain't that way. That's just not my culture. I mean, I hear it all the time. We're not supposed to be that emotional in church, you know. You should just calm down. Man, Jesus died for me. I was a sinner. I was a wreck, man. I was on my way to a devil's hell, and he interrupted the plans of the enemy. He said, hey, I got a plan for you, boy. You come out of that darkness and come into my kingdom. I'll release you to the nations of the earth. You're going global, boy. Come on. I'm so afraid of a little emotional experience with God, man. This is an encounter. I met with him this morning at 5 o'clock. Jet lag is real, folks. I'm just telling you. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I'm like up, like 4 o'clock, I'm up. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But if I'm up, I might as well have an encounter. I might as well just sit with Jesus. I might as well cry out for Jesus. We were in Israel, you know, and we're in the Holy Land, and we're getting ready to go the next day to the upper room. And we're headed over to the upper room, and I start praying. I said, God, something. I just need something to happen. I need to have an experience with you in that upper room. We're not just going in there to look at four walls and just go in there and say we've been in an upper room. And I said, God, just tell me what you're going to do. And God said, I'm going to baptize every one of you in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to baptize all 20. I say 20. We only took 19, but our guide, man, she was on fire. She was a Holy Ghost filled. She became part of the team, man. And I'm telling you, we got in the upper room, and we started praying, and the glory of God started falling, and everybody in that room got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're not dead, and Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. You need to encounter him. You need the supernatural. You need to be a seeker of the supernatural. You should start thinking every day, what's going to be weird today? God, just show me something different today. Just let me see into the supernatural today. Listen, there's some things that will keep you from a spiritual encounter. And you need to know what they are. There are things that will try to keep you from having a supernatural encounter. And the first one is this. Write this down. The first thing that will keep you from a supernatural encounter is the spirit of reason. It's the spirit of reason, intellectualism, trying to figure everything out, trying to get everything to make sense. There's nothing wrong with being intellectual, and I'm not asking anybody to check your brain in at the door. Or when you read your Bible, you can't do it with your brain. No, you can read the Bible with intellectualism. You can understand it. It all, from Genesis to Revelation, every book in the Bible points to Jesus. You can find Jesus all through the Bible. You don't have to check your brain at the door, but you can't let your natural mind keep you from receiving the supernatural. Because that's what happens. Because we want to understand it. We got to know, like, how's all this going to work? And what does that mean? And what's God trying to say? And we're trying to figure it all out. You read the Bible, you're going to see so many things in there that go beyond the natural. And Jesus spit in the dirt and rubbed dirt on a man's eyes. You say, that don't make no sense. That's why. You do that today, you got to get an attorney. I'm just telling you, if I just hocked up a big one, I'll be in jail. You know what I'm saying? You can't do this in the natural. It is in the supernatural. You got to get it out of your head. When we were in that upper room and we were praying, there was Aiden, who's real young. She's in high school. She's a senior in high school, I believe. And there was another girl and another girl that had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I already knew God told me I'm going to baptize everybody in the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't any question in my mind they were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so when I went up to Aiden, I said, Aiden, I want you to receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to receive him. If you're willing and you ask him, he's going to fill you right now. Like, you're going to get your prayer language. You're going to be able to pray in a heavenly prayer language. She said, okay. I said, okay, pray in the natural. Just pray in the natural. Ask God with your earthly language to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Just ask him. And she was talking real loud. I mean, you could hear her real loud. Bob, she said, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, now, here's what I need you to do, Aiden. I just need you to pray in your prayer language. Like, I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what to say. But out of your spirit, pray whatever you hear. Long as it's not English or Spanish or whatever you can speak. Not a language that you know. Just pray out of your spirit. She said to me, just as clear as anything, I can't get it out of my head. I said, yeah, it's not in your head. You got to get it out of your head. You got to get it out of your spirit. I said to her, Aiden, talk to that door over there and tell that door, I want a drink of water. She said this loud, I want a drink of water. I said, okay, close your eyes and pray in the spirit. She went, I can't get it out of my head. I put my hands on her belly. I said, in the name of Jesus, let the spirit of the, listen, you got to pray in tongues. If you're waiting on the Spirit to pray in tongues through you, you've missed it. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I laid my hands on her belly. I said, right now, I release it through you. And you open your mouth like you're talking to that door for a drink of water and pray in your prayer language. And all of a sudden, man, she said, ti-ta-ta-ta-ta. She starts speaking in tongues. Tears start flowing. She said, it's out of my head. It's out of my head. It's in my spirit. It's in my spirit. And then all of a sudden, Shelly got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Lola got baptized in the Holy Spirit. All when they got it out of their head. You can experience the supernatural if you get it out of your head. Huh? It's not natural. It's when God puts his super on your natural, it becomes supernatural. And you wake up every day going, I want to experience the supernatural. Stop trying to figure out how it works. Number two, conformity. Conformity. Number one, the spirit of reason. Number two, the thing that will keep you from receiving the supernatural is conformity. Staying in a religious box. Huh? Well, I don't dance like that. I'm white. That's a religious box. You need to get out. You know, nobody care what you dance like, but you dance before the Lord with all your might. Come on. Get out of the box. Number three, I got to hurry. Number three thing that will keep you from encountering the Holy Spirit is the organization of man. The organization of a man will keep you from an encounter. Methods. I'm talking about methods. There's nothing wrong with structure. God has structure. Every week in my box right here is a paper. Maybe it's up here. In my box is a paper. I get one every week. We talk about it. On Monday, they get it typed up, send it to me by Tuesday. I review it and send it back to them. They send it back to me by Thursday. And this is the structure for our church. And two of these songs got sung. The other two didn't make the cut because the Holy Spirit started moving, and they shifted and started singing something totally different than what was on the paper. And then the altar call was supposed to happen after the Forever song. But you know what? I felt like we were supposed to do it during the other song, so I just... It's like structure is good. But listen, the structure of man can keep you from an encounter with God. You need to have structure. You need to plan. But you have to make room for the Holy Spirit. Listen, God is a God of detail. He told them exactly how to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. Take six steps. Remember? He told them how to build the Ark of the Covenant. What was it to be made of? How was it to look? What was to be in it? He's the God of detail. He told Noah how to build the boat, how big to make it, what wood to make it, how it was going to happen. He's the God of detail. But see, the modern church has programmed the Holy Spirit right out of the church services. Huh? We've programmed him right out. If you want to experience the Holy Spirit, come on Thursday and we'll have a little soaking time and you can come soak in the presence of the Holy Spirit on Thursday. But we don't allow that to happen on Sunday because we are so time sensitive. You know I'm telling you the truth. I Googled this, okay? What is the perfect service, church service? Here's what they gave me. 2-minute greeting. 15 minutes of praise and worship, 5 minutes of announcing, 5 minutes of offering, 25-minute sermon, and a 2-minute closing prayer. That is the perfect 1-hour in-and-out service. Guess what ain't happening here? Listen, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to move. So we try to schedule a special night. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or if you want to speak in tongues, you have to do it on the Thursday night thing because we don't want to do that in a Sunday morning environment because we want to be seeker sensitive. Let me tell you about seeker sensitive. You need to be seeker sensitive for the Holy Spirit. You need to be so passionate. You need to be seeker passionate for his presence. Because that's the only thing that changes anybody. You cannot counsel out a demon. You can talk to that joker all you want to about, oh, here's the steps to take. No, you need to lay hands on that dude and call him out and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you coming out today. You ain't hanging around no more. You cast out the devil. I'm telling you, we got to get the church back to encounters with God, where the Holy Ghost is showing up and changing radically the lives of hearts and men and women. Amen? Amen. Number four, being too busy. Being too busy. Are you a Mary or a Martha? Because Martha was in the kitchen making a meal that Jesus wasn't going to eat. And Mary was sitting at his feet. Which one are you? Listen, I'm not opposed to serving. Everybody should serve. Everybody should come to Next Steps class tonight, and everybody should start serving in the ministry. But you better be serving out of a love for God, not a man-pleasing spirit. Huh? If you're serving in the kitchen just to make the pastor happy or just to do, no, that's the wrong spirit. That ain't going to get us nowhere. You got to serve out of a love for God. Are you a Mary or a Martha? Jesus said Mary chose the best part, an encounter with Jesus. I just encourage you, if you're too busy, you're going to miss the encounters with God. You're going to miss the encounters with God. Ms. Gail, if you could come up. Religion is the absence of an encounter. When you're having encounters with God, addictions leave. Come on, when you're having encounters with God, when you're in the mornings and you're having your own personal encounter with God, you know what? The best encounter with God that you're ever going to have is not going to be in a church service. Can I just tell you that? And we have some amazing encounters in here. The Holy Ghost shows up in here, don't he, Brooke? He just shows up. Sometimes when you're praying with people, don't you feel like the Holy Spirit is right there imparting something into them? It's like you just know that God's flowing through you. But let me tell you, your best encounters with God are not going to be in a church service. It should prompt you to hunger. Huh? The atmosphere, the aroma of God should stir you for more. But your best encounter with God, it's going to be when you're at home and you turn the TV off and you get the kids together and you bring all your children into the room and you open up that Bible and you share something from the Word of God and you say, we're now going to pray over this, that God is going to visit us and deposit something into our lives. See, she's got to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's Brian's baby, man. He watches over her. She's his pride and joy. But she's, how old enough? Four or five? Six? Five next month. It's time for her own encounter. See, she's gotta encounter him as a young girl so that when she's 15 and some boy's winking at her and telling her, if you love me, you'll go with me. If you'll sit back here with me, then I'll show you how much I love you and I'll always be there for you. And she said, no, I've already experienced the Father's love. You can't replace that. And me being here is only gonna make me distant from the Father's love. You see what I'm saying? It's encounters. This is what keeps you, Sophie. This is why you're still in church. Mom don't come to church, dad don't come to church, nobody comes to church, but you're here every week. Why? Because your young girl going, I've encountered him. She's already encountered. That's why God brought you into my life, girl. You're not here just for me to raise you. You're here because God wants you to encounter him so that when you're 21 years old, you're up on the stage prophesying the word of the Lord to people that don't even know you. I'm telling you, church, God's calling us to encounters. Your best encounter with God will be you in your room all by yourself with your worship music playing and you by the side of your bed going, God, I want to encounter you. Holy Spirit, I want to encounter you. I want to leave this room knowing that I'm in covenant with you, that you're walking with me. That's what's changed your life, bro. When you received salvation and you came and gave your life to Jesus, that was amazing. But see, when you came back to men's group and then you start coming more and more, and now all of a sudden you're having these encounters with God, and now the addictions are leaving and the old habits are leaving, and you're seeing this hunger and you can't wait to get to church. Am I right? You can't wait to get to church. It's like, I can't wait. Why? Because he's had an encounter with God. You've got to have your own encounter with God. Being raised in church your whole life is amazing. But when you have it with him and he shows up in your room and he wrecks your life and he says, I got a call on your life. You will preach my gospel. You will teach my gospel. You will share my love to everybody. It changes everything. Church, we need encounters with the Holy Spirit. An encounter with God. The last one is hunger. Hunger. You got to have hunger. If you don't have hunger, it's going to keep you from encountering the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on, stand up on your feet, everybody. We are called to live outside the natural. There's no limits. No limits. Wake up. You're thinking too small. Expand your thinking. Where's God want to take me to? This morning in the first service, Autumn was here. She's been gone for almost 2 months, a month and a half, 2 months now. You know where she's been? Traveling the world, telling churches about her miracle. Because on a Sunday night, she stood right here on an oxygen breathing machine and had to stay 7 hours in a little hyper chamber just to be able to live and do life. And on a Sunday night, she had an encounter with Jesus. It wasn't any of us that laid hands on her. It was when she encountered Jesus in a fresh new way, and God gave her brand new DNA, and her lungs have been healed ever since. She's traveling the world right now and telling the world what Jesus has done. I want you to have an encounter this week. I want you to have an encounter this week. John 14, verse 21, I'll close with this scripture. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. He said, I'll manifest myself to him. In other words, I will let you experience, host my glory. I'll show you my goodness. The two conditions, love God, keep his commandments, and you can experience the God of heaven. Amen. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute. Speak to your heart right now. Speak to your heart right now. If you're watching online, I just pray that you'd pause yourself right now, not do anything but listen to my words. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I'll tell you, the stinking devil can sneak in so quick, man. He's a liar and a deceiver. And his job is to get you absolutely down on yourself, feeling like you can't make it, feeling like you're not good enough. I was listening to Louis, Pastor's son, preach this morning, and he is saying, you gotta delete the virus. You gotta delete the virus, the wrong thoughts, the wrong themes that come into our mind that try to hold us hostage. You gotta delete that stuff. You just gotta hit the delete button. You gotta get that thing cleaned out. You can't think that way, live that way. And so many of you in the room right now, you're living in a place that you know you're not walking in covenant with God. If you were to die today, you're not even sure you'd go to heaven. Like you got so confused by the lies of the enemy and the deceitful path that he's trying to take you on. And I'm here to say, no! Stop! Those chains and bondages and lies of the enemy are not for you, and you can be free today. I'm asking all over this room and all over the internet right now, if your heart is not where it needs to be with God, if you know that you're struggling in faith right now, just lift your hands to God. Hold it up. Just lift them up there. Come on. I see you, sweetie. I see you. I got you. Another one. Come on. Any others? Just say, I'm really struggling with my faith right now. Struggling with my encounter right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any others? Wait just a minute. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Be real. Angels are watching. Heaven is here. Heaven is here. Respond. Respond. Amen. Amen. Can I pray with you when we're done? When we're done? Listen, I'm going to ask you right now, if you would be so willing to partner with me this week in having an encounter with God, if you would just open your heart up to say, God, I want to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit this week, would you just lift your hands and say, I'm going to make some time. And I'm going to ask God to give me a divine encounter, a revelation of God's love in my life. Father, every hand that is lifted right now is in covenant to have an encounter with you. And I thank you that as they cry out for you, that you will fill their room, their car, their kitchen, wherever they are, that they would just be able to receive the love of the Father. And I come against the lies of the enemy. And I thank you, Lord God, that we walk in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, everybody. God is good, isn't he?